This meeting of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors will now come to order. Please rise for a salute to our flag. We will start this meeting with a presentation to the Sheriff's Department from the Stanislaus County Advisory Board on Substance Abuse. Donna Miller, I guess you're the chair this year?
Good morning. Good morning to all of you. And this is to honor the Sheriff's Department. In November, our board presented their annual report to the Board of Supervisors. And Jeff Gullo mentioned that we had a lacking at Stanislaus Recovery Center. We were trying to get some money together from our board members to buy picnic tables. So the sheriff did hear about this. He was sitting in the back of the room, and as we left chamber, he stopped Jeff and he said, "Maybe I can help you out." And he offered the Honor Farm possibly having some extra material to make some of those picnic tables. And they did. And we got 5 picnic tables that are able to be used at the recovery center for the patients and their families, and we so much appreciated that. We did send a letter of appreciation, but I started thinking, what else could we do for the Honor Farm? So, using my little bit of brain work, I decided that it might be good to get a branding iron that you could actually brand the wood material. And it says, "Handicrafted by Stanco Honor Farm." So they can brand some of their items. And so this is what I'd like to present to Sheriff Christensen for the Honor Farm and for the members that actually train the people at the Honor Farm. And we do thank them. The advisory board thanks them for the picnic.
Very nice gift. Obviously, our mission is to serve the community, and that's what we were doing, is reaching out in partnership to another agency that really needed help, and we had the ability to help them, and that's what we did. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sheriff. Donna? Okay, at this time, we will go to the public comment period. For anyone who would like to speak to this board about an item that is not on the agenda, I have 2 requests to speak today. First one from Jerry Powers, our Chief Probation Officer. It looks like you're having a good day today.
Yes, very good day today. As we've told you previously, we went back to Sacramento to compete and do our presentation for our funding for our youth treatment facility. I'm very happy to report we were notified last Friday that we were successful in the competition. We actually ranked number one in the mid-sized counties. We're the top-ranked project. We had 3 board members actually who went up to help us with the presentation. We had a great turnout. We were successful in getting $18 million in state money to assist us in building the facility. Quite frankly, our work just now begins. Now that we've got the money, as much work as we put into the grant application and the needs assessment and all of that, this really begins the work. We have to sit down and put pen to paper, pencil to paper, and figure out how we're going to pull this thing off. So I am very pleased that the county was successful in competing. I look forward to somewhere a little over 3 years from now, having all of you at the opening ceremony. And I think this is a huge opportunity for the county and certainly for the kids in our community to help make them better and give us a better juvenile justice system in our county. So I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Supervisor Chiesa.
I just wanted to thank you. Your presentation, along with Patty Hill and Supervisor Grover, we got to watch some other ones, and I just wanted to compliment you because we were organized, we were on time, not overtime, and you guys did a great job, and Stanislaus County was well served.
We got some great feedback from our presentation. We were the largest contingency there. We had the district attorney there. We had police chiefs. We had our presiding judge of our juvenile court. I think all in all, there were about 20 representatives of city and county government and county departments, and it was an outstanding job done by all, and certainly a team effort on behalf of the county and the department and our city partners as well.
I know that the county match was readjusted. Do you remember what the county match was for this?
I think the total match is right at about $6 million is the county's obligation for it. That includes what's called soft match and hard match. Soft match includes things like property contributions, staff time, and things like that. Patty's not here today. She has those numbers right off the top of her head. But I want to say the hard match, or what we anticipate contributing in dollars, is somewhere right around $3.4 million, if I remember correctly. We believe at this point today, if we had to write a check, we could come up with a significant portion of that. Obviously, this process is about a three-year process, so we're confident that over the next 3 years, we will be able to easily come up with the hard match part of that, in other words, the cash dollars. And that's part of putting the pencil to the paper. And as Patty has said, and we've reported, we will come back to this board with a plan of how we're going to put this together, and a financing plan, as well as a construction timeline and a project timeline, probably is a better way to phrase it.
Any further questions of Mr. Powers?
Other than well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I also have a request to speak from Robert Stanford.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to address you today. The other night, I gave you, Mr. Martini, a flyer, and basically just to go over this real quick, it's been an ongoing situation we've had, I think, since Valentine's Day, maybe before, another site in Grisita Park, but the event that's being put on by a small fringe group that's an actual illegitimate and illegal needle exchange that's happening in Mono Park in the airport district. Now, if you don't have a needle, you can show up and they'll give you 20 needles. I can't tell you where these needles come from. It's unregulated. There's no accountability. If you remember this board, in your wisdom, voted down needle exchange here not too long ago. I'm for needle exchange when it's legal, when it's legitimate, when we have the health department, when we have the cooperation of law enforcement. So a couple of weeks ago, I emailed Chief Wasden and Sheriff Christensen about this situation, and I also visited our substation. I went to Sheriff's Deputy Mebs, who's a community service officer, maybe not today. Sometime this month, he's supposed to be leaving us, and we'll be our, kind of leave us without a deputy out there that's, community patrol. But the day I gave you that flyer that detailed what I was talking about, later on that evening, I had the opportunity to speak with, I believe it's Lieutenant Tori Hughes. She's the watch commander, and part of her district is the airport district. She had no idea, just like you had no idea. She had no idea this was going on. 2 weeks before, I sent Christensen at least one email, maybe two, through the website. Or maybe there was something where it wasn't a direct email, it was through a form field on the Stanislaus County Sheriff's website. I certainly hope that's the case. I hope this isn't anything. As you well know, we've been kind of going out a little bit. But this is, taking it out on whatever you think of drug intravenous users, taking it out on them, that's just, that's hitting below the belt there. But we really need to get this wrapped up. They advertise on the internet when they're doing it. They try to advertise it on front of Airport United. And it's just horrible. Like I said, I'm not, it's kind of shaking up my, I'm reconsidering my views about needle exchange after this, but it's just the bottom line is anybody can show up and they'll give you 20 syringes. Am I the only one to see something wrong with that?
Yeah, that's not, I did see the flyer, and that's not a needle exchange program. That's a needle giveaway program.
I agree.
No accountability there at all, and I don't think that would be illegal for people to be passing out needles like that.
And accepting needles with trace elements of heroin and methamphetamine. That's felonious. But, you know, I just want to bring this to your attention. I don't know, you know, what's going on here, but I'd really like to see this stopped. And I think, you know, whatever me and the sheriff was going through, that shouldn't get in the way of, I certainly hope this is no sort of like trying to get back at me by getting at my people or whatever. I'm trying to help these people and bring them into recovery. You know, and it's, like I say, I just, we've had nothing on it, so.
I can say that, you know, I am aware of it because of the flyer you gave me, and we will see this checked into.
Yeah, we will follow up on the flyer. If you can give me a copy of that, we'll get it to law enforcement and to our public health department and see if we can track down what in fact is occurring.
Okay. Well, next time it would be nice if, you know, a citizen can, you know, throw the tip. You know, I didn't necessarily call Crime Stoppers, but I think if you email the sheriff, you know, something should happen, you know. I'll talk to Wasden and, you know, see if he's got any info for me, too. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Stanford. Is there anyone else who would like to address this board on an item that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. We have a request to pull item B8. Is there anyone else on this board who wishes to pull a item on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, we'll entertain a motion for the consent calendar except for item B8.
So moved. Second.
A motion is made by Supervisor Chiesa, seconded by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Okay, we will now go to item B8 for a separate vote. This is the approval to increase the sheriff's operation budget to fund the sole source procurement of an Arrow computer moving map system.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Lieutenant Mike Parker, Commander of the Santa Claus County Sheriff's Air Support Unit. And the agenda before you today, or the item, is to increase our appropriations by approximately $93,000 to purchase what is called an Arrow computer moving map system. This system is industry standard. It basically lessens the workload on our tactical flight officer, giving him greater situational awareness as to where the helicopter is in relation to the ground. It gives us a real-time moving map if we are in pursuit of a vehicle or in pursuit of a fleeing suspect. It gives our exact location, the next streets that may be coming up, so we can move our units into the area accurately and swiftly. It is industry standard throughout every aviation unit in California. They use this exact system. The money is coming from two separate grants, the first being it's all about methamphetamine education and enforcement grant through the Stanislaus Drug Enforcement Agency, and the other portion of the grant, the money will be through a grant through the HIDA program, through the state HIDA program. This is a sole sourced item through Hangar One Avionics in Carlsbad. This is the vendor we have used for all of our helicopter work. This company is very intimate with the internal workings of our electronics in our helicopter, and they can do a great job in installing this, and I am very confident in their ability to do the work correctly. And if we were to use an outside vendor, I don't think they could do as good a job because they're not as familiar with the internal workings of our helicopter. And if any of those systems were to be damaged during the installation, it would cost thousands of dollars to fix any items that are damaged, and I believe Hangar One is the appropriate vendor to conduct this installation. So if you have any questions, I'm open.
Any questions from the board? Notice in the fiscal impact, there's no cost to the county's general fund.
Correct, no cost. All the funds will be are generated through the grants.
Okay.
Thank you.
This item is being pulled by Robert Stanford. Mr. Stanford, would you like to address the board on this issue?
That was an excellent explanation. I think my concern is just coming down to the days that we live in right now. And I know that a friend of mine recently served on the Riverbank series. That was Riverbank City Council, Virginia Mondueña. She's taken her personal funds to supplement, you know, one of these grant sources. And I think that with the kind of cuts we're facing with our law enforcement, and I think that my big question here is why at this time is there not an alternative that we might be able to put this into manpower to fight methamphetamine on the street, whether it be like with community outreach really helps a lot, getting people into recovery, getting people off the drugs at the street level. That's where the real demand is, those that are addicted. So I guess that was just, you know, maybe, because I've been thinking all along, well, maybe this is the best they can do with the money, because they probably have rules attached to how they can spend the money. Maybe they can't just get manpower. It's just maybe, so it's just kind of a, you know, I guess a technology versus manpower question I pretty much had, a concern I had just with the urge. I just feel like it's kind of a, an alarming time when we're actually cutting deputies out of the street, especially like in airport in La Loma.
Mr. Stanford, this would have no impact upon the sheriff's operational budget. This is a grant for equipment.
Oh, I understand that perfectly. I guess my question would be, would we have been able to acquire more manpower or facilitate manpower on the street rather than in the air? Would that have been at our disposal? Would that have been a better decision to in any way increase our manpower? Maybe we would not be able to do that because of the types of grants.
Yeah, the grants are pretty specific in their use. And I would also add that it is very poor public policy to use one-time grants to fund ongoing staffing costs, because we know that they're not sustainable and not supportable. And at best, you get a piece of a person for one very small time period, and then that person no longer is employed. It just doesn't make sense for anybody to spend grant money that way.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I'd like to move approval for item B8.
And motion is made by Supervisor Grover and seconded by Supervisor Monteith. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Okay, we will now move to item B9. Clerk Recorder, about our special election. Haven't we done a special election before?
Is this deja vu?
I think I may not count this right, but I think this is the sixth consecutive special election.
I haven't counted. Lee Lundrigan, Stanislaus County Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters. I'm here today to talk about the special election that's been called by the governor for May 19th. Chairman DeMartini, board members, CEO Robinson and County Council Doring. The election that is being called was anticipated, but the date was not expected. The elections has known for some time that the governor did not sign certain bills last summer, which would have placed some of these items on the November ballot from 2008. Knowing that, we anticipated that this would have to come before the voters sometime prior to the next fiscal year, which would be starting in July 2009. In 2008-2007, we conducted seven elections in this county. Four were statewide, Two were local, and one was a Senate recall. We anticipated in 2009 that we would have one election scheduled for November 3rd, which is a UDEL, a consolidated district election, in which the county would basically be reimbursed for most of it because local districts would place themselves on a consolidated ballot and pay the county for being for that placement. Instead, we now have this new election, and we anticipate the cost could be upwards, and we are asking for $720,000 to conduct it. Of those fees we're asking for, $160,000 were able to be saved by the county clerk recorder and elections units during the last fiscal year. Therefore, we are trying to only ask for $560,000 to supplement the $160,000 in savings that we were able to maintain as a department. This is a mandated election. We are required to hold it. We have asked, the board asked, and I asked independently if we would be able to hold this as an all-mail election, thus saving additional funding. There was no answer, basically. I did receive a letter yesterday from the governor indicating that they heard our request and that they would think about it at some future point. Clearly, it will not have anything to do with this election. So in signing the document, the governor did agree that there would be reimbursement for the counties, which is a bright note in this. However, there is no date for that reimbursement. So I don't know if the reimbursement will be immediately or it could be sometime in the future. We just don't have any information about that. We will anticipate to be able to get our bills up to the governor as soon as possible so that we can be reimbursed. And the other thing that I would like to bring up is what exactly is going to be taking place in this election. Just for your information, we currently have 229,261 voters, just under 230,000 voters in Stanislaus County. Poll voters of that amount are 130,000 plus. All mail voters, 99,000 plus, just under 100,000 people. So just under one half of all of our voters are registered as permanent vote-by-mail voters. Even though they are registered that way, we have more than 50% turnout at the polls from the vote-by-mail voters. So it's a larger number. In this particular election, we are allowed to what is considered and called super consolidate. Super consolidate means we are allowed to put together up to 6,000 people in one precinct. It's a super large precinct. We were not able to do that, however, because we're also required to report by district. So the districts cannot go and cross district lines. The consolidated precincts we put together cannot cross district lines. What does this mean? It means they cannot cross city, supervisorial district, assembly district, senate district, or congressional district. All of those lines run through our county in not the same locations and therefore are requiring us to have 146 precincts. The smallest amount we could have with a number of voters would have been about 30 or 40. Of those, we have 67 that will be mail ballot precincts and 79 which will be polls, which means we will have poll workers, we will have polling machines that need logic and accuracy testing, we will need poll locations, and all of the additional fees and expenses that come with it. We anticipate approximately, we're working on trying to get less than 800 poll workers for this election. The norm is between 8 and 1,000. We anticipate, even though these are going to be larger, that there should be a little bit less turnout. So we'll be advising our voters. We'll be sending out a postcard to them, advising them if they wish to vote by mail. We certainly would encourage that and send them the ballot. Other than that, they will have to travel farther this time during this specific election to vote at the polls. Their poll will not be as close as the poll would be in a non-special election. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer it now.
Any questions of the board? Ms. Lundgren? Supervisor Kiesel?
Hi, Lee.
Hi.
I guess, you know, when we got the same letter from Governor Schwarzenegger that said absolutely nothing, and I think I threw mine away already. But when he signed the bill, he says that he's understanding, you know, that the legislature is going to reimburse. But I guess I have no faith in the legislature, and I just see this as another unfunded mandate from the state. And talking with legislators, I have the same feeling. I get the same feeling even more and more. So I'm not sure. But I guess I would say that this is a, you know, and Mr. Stanford is, you know, he brings up some good points about spending money in these times, and I commend you for saving money in last year's budget, but we should all be outraged if the funding is not there and not there immediately, because this is going to put a serious strain on Stanislaus County.
I appreciate everything this court has done to address this with the governor and the legislature, and you've taken, I think, really proactive steps, as has our office, in an attempt to make this happen. This is the budget piece that the legislature is basically counting on to pass the budget. If this doesn't pass, this will be close to $80 million statewide, and it will have done nothing. So that's part of the issue we all face here, and I couldn't agree with you more. There is nothing from the legislature indicating they will repay it. It is only in a letter from the governor.
It's too late to do an all-mail election based on the 88 days we passed that. Is that?
It's not that it's too late, it is, but it's that we do not have permission to do so. We need permission for a statewide election from the legislature, and it has not been given.
Further questions from the board?
Approximately how much would that save if it was an all-mail election?
We believe 25% of the overall cost. In addition, it would probably be of interest to you to know that this was called on the 88th day, and that has special meaning to elections. There is what's called an 88-day close prior to election, which means there's no nominations, there is no initiatives, measures, nothing can be placed on a ballot past the 88-day close, and this was actually called on the 88th day. Now, that might be okay if you're adding to a regular election, but they're asking us to put together polls, poll workers, training for those individuals, logic and accuracy testing, a whole variety of things that normally we have planned a year in advance, and we didn't know what day to place this information on. So as soon as we found out, we contacted all of our polls, all of our poll workers to, you know, try to get them organized and coming on board. But we're talking 800 people and 79 polls that didn't know about it two weeks ago. So it's a bit tricky to put something like this on, but we're not the only county. Every single one of the 58 counties has to deal with the same issue in varying degrees because of their size. And I can understand the position not only of this board, but of the entire county, in that everyone is trying to save, everyone is trying to scrimp and make sure that we can do everything possible to maintain our budget so that we can continue on with the staffing that we have for the public. And to have one of these special elections called at this kind of a cost ratio is very difficult on everyone.
Further questions from the board? Okay, thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
I don't see that we have any choice but to approve this, and we will pursue the state funding. I don't know if that's going to be coming or not, but with the mandate election, I just don't see that we have any way out of this. We just have to put up the money and hope for reimbursement. Okay, if there's no further questions, I'll call for a motion.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made to approve. Supervisor Monteith, seconded by Supervisor O'Brien. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. Off for another special election. Okay, this time we will go to our public hearing to consider the formation of a lighting district in the Beard Industrial Tract. Our 9:15 public hearing. Have a staff report, please.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, Board of Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Council Dory. My name is Vinny Ferrer. I'm with the Stanislaus County Department of Public Works. As just stated, this is a public hearing regarding the Beard Industrial Lighting District, which is a requirement set forth in the conditions of approval for parcel map 2005-19. This required ballot procedure for the Beard Industrial Lighting District is in compliance with Proposition 218. If there's anyone who is here today to submit a ballot, please do so at this point with the clerk of the board. The deadline to change a ballot is at the end of the public hearing. If there is anyone here today that needs to change a ballot, please proceed immediately to the table in the back, and a public works representative will assist you. At this time, I ask the board if they have any questions.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none at this time, I will open the public hearing. Anybody who wishes to speak on this item, or have any question about the ballot, or would like to change their vote, now is the time to do it. But there's not too much interest in the public hearing, so I will close the public hearing and direct the clerk of the board to count the ballots. I take it you'll need a few minutes to do this, so we will come back to this item in a few minutes after we go through the correspondence and the board reports. So we can just move to the correspondence and come back to this item.
This board has received a letter from the Union Pacific Railroad regarding their plans to abandon and discontinue service on the McHenry Industrial Lead from milepost 21.25 near Escalon to milepost 26.43 near McHenry Avenue.
Referred to the Department of Public Works.
This board has received a letter from Trimmasters Corporation, Inc. regarding their plans to lay off 83 employees beginning on April 20, 2009, at its facility at 201 South McClure Road in Modesto, California, per the Worker Adjustment and Training Notification Act.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNEC and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from Nye Industries, the TriMass company, regarding their plans to lay off 8 employees on April 24, 2009, at its facility at 5300 Claus Road in Riverbank, California, per the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a notice from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action relating to Central Valley sport fishing.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Seeing none, I'd just like to make a comment about these constant board items about closing of factories and laying off people. If the economy just continues to sink, and we see business after business just for laying off employees. I hope we hit the bottom soon. Any reports?
Yes, I have a
legislative and fiscal management report.
Thank you. A number of things to report to you this morning. First, on the federal side, the omnibus bill did pass through the Congress and is waiting for the president's signature. In that, our community is expecting funding for two projects, radio operability, $500,000, and our Orostimba Creek project, $344,000, to continue the feasibility and various alternative studies. Excuse me. As Clerk Recorder Lundgren has reported to you, we are hopeful, but it is somewhat doubtful that we'll receive reimbursement from the state on the special election reimbursement. It is something that we're not giving up on. We will continue to work proactively to try to seek and secure reimbursement for the special election. I'd also like you to know that the state is still not releasing funds for cash flow Empire Pool and Tuolumne River Regional Park projects are impacted on a cash flow basis. We have at least 5 water bond bills introduced, and the Delta will be a hot topic in the 2009 session. We have a number of county bills that are pending. We'll get a list probably by the end of this week. One bill of significance, which I don't know the bill number for yet, is a bill that Senator Coghill has announced, I believe, last Friday, and that's the negative bailout bill to benefit Stanislaus County this year. I'd also like to inform you that the county is hosting representatives from Senator Padilla's office and a consultant from the Assembly Natural Resources Committee for a tour of our energy from waste facility this week. Senator Padilla is the author of SB 25, Solid Waste Diversion Bill, and so we see this as a very positive sign to our energy from waste facility. Propositions under consideration, a large question that is currently floating through the community and throughout the state is what propositions will be considered as part of the budget bill signed by the governor. Prop 1A would create a new larger rainy day fund and put new limits on state spending growth. Prop 1B would alter repayment schedules for Prop 98 funds, which are arguably owed by the state to kindergarten through 14 districts, which total $9.3 billion. Prop 1C would allow state to borrow money for the general fund and securitize it by future revenues from the California lottery. Proposition 1D would, for 5 years, shift between half and two-thirds of the cigarette tax away from the California Children and Families Program, or Prop 10 funding, into the state general fund. Prop 1E would amend the millionaire tax for mental health services, which you know is Prop 63, and shift the revenue from local programs to the benefit of the state general fund. And finally, Proposition 1F would forbid California Citizens Compensation Commission from raising legislators and state officers' salaries whenever the state is running a deficit. So as you can see, there's no shortage of propositions that are tied to the budget just approved by the legislature and the governor.
Mr. Robinson, you noted many water bills about the Delta water. Are those
yes.
state or federal or both?
I believe that they're principally state bills at this time. We'll get more information from you as we get more information out of the legislature, but I believe they're principally state bills right now.
I know Southern Valley Congressman is wanting some water of ours too, so let's keep an eye on the federal.
We will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Robinson. We will return to our 9:25 public hearing. I trust that the clerk is got the results of the election.
Yes, we do. There were 15 ballots in support and 1 ballot incomplete. The measure does pass.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments from the board on this?
Do we need to accept those results?
Yes, we do.
I'd like to move that we accept the results of the ballot.
Second.
Okay, motion's made by Supervisor Grover, seconded by Supervisor O'Brien. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? And motion carried 5-0. We have an announcement, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I would like to announce that we are conducting a Board of Supervisors planning workshop in Houston at Samaritan Village from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday, March 6th. Samaritan Village site is located at 7700 Fox Road in Houston.
Okay, thank you. We will now adjourn to closed session. Mr. Robinson, Mr. Dorian.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have several items to discuss in closed session today. First is conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one case pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision C. Second matter is conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation involving two cases. First case is Clark and Sullivan Builders Incorporated versus County of Stanislaus. Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 612057. Second case is City of Patterson versus Stanislaus County et al. Fresno County Superior Court, case number 08CECG-02901. And that's all conducted pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A. Finally, is conference with legal with the county's labor negotiator. The agency negotiator is Richard Robinson. Labor organizations include Stanislaus County Sheriff's Management Association. This will be conducted pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. We do not expect to report on any of those matters.
This meeting is adjourned.